We are on lesson 17. Who needs lesson 17? Raise your hand. Brother Collins has been so patient back there waiting. Need one here. Anyone else? Lesson number 17 over here. Lee needs one. And Donna needs one. Yes, you don't need one? Pardon? Oh, Revelation 6. Yes, we've been on Revelation 6 now for about a month. And we're still on verse 1. No, we did move ahead to verse 2. But it is a slow study. My goal is that we'll finish Revelation in heaven together after the rapture, and then we can teach it as history rather than prophecy. And we'll just go ahead and let Jesus teach it, and that'll be good. But anyway, we are talking about the apocalyptic four horsemen, and we are talking about the first one. Number one in your outline, a deceitful diplomat. And we're studying verses 1 and 2. Our verse for this lesson is Revelation 6, 2. And so let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 6, 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6, 2. And again, Revelation 6, 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6, 2. Thank you so much, Father, for your word, and thank you for the teaching that it gives and the guidance that it gives, but especially I think of the promises that we receive from your word. And Lord, how we can certainly have peace in times like these. And we think of so many folks out on the East Coast that are going through a very, very difficult time. And pray for them, especially think of churches like our church and Christians like us that are struggling and going through difficult times. And yet, often it's times like these that draw us closer to you, and times like these that cause lost to want to be saved. And so I pray you use it that way, and certainly that you will help in that situation. And I pray that you'll help our own folks going through tough times, and that you'll bless them. And again, use every situation to draw us close to you. We come to you again praying for our nation, and praying about this election coming up, and asking you to guide and direct your people, Lord, that we might obey you and we might all do right. We certainly have a great opportunity to be an influence in our country. So use us that way. And teach us now this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've seen the description here of the deceitful diplomat. It says, behold, a white horse, he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. We see certainly in the description a military figure. We see a conqueror on a white horse. And certainly there is that design that he is a conqueror, that he has power, that he is able to conquer what he goes after. And so there's no question that there is a huge threat by this image, by this one on the horse. We believe this one is the Antichrist, and we understand that he will have great power. We'll see that as we study on in Revelation, the power that he has. It is an amazing kind of power, I think, as we consider the world that we live in, and the willingness of people to give him that power. He, again, his crown is not one that he has is following in succession. It is one, not one that he has earned. It is one that he has obtained through whatever means that he had to, and it was somehow given to him. And again, I think that is a indication of politics. I believe it's an indication of probably the ruthlessness of politics. We see that with the 10 horns and 3 being plucked up. We spent a lot of time on that last week. I don't want to go through that again. But again, there is this image, this Antichrist is called stout in Daniel, and he is able to subdue those three, whatever way. Again, we're not told how he subdues those three kings, leaders, whatever you want to call them. We just know that they are subdued. And again, is it through a smear campaign? Is it through assassination? Is it through whatever means it is? Obviously, they are very powerful leaders themselves, but the Antichrist will be satanically empowered, and Satan, of course, God has given him the ability, the power to be the prince of the power of the air and the prince of the world. And during this time, and so again, Satan is empowering the Antichrist and crushing those who get in his way, and again, crushing either physically or by rumor, whatever. It is definitely a power play. So that is the description from those verses, and we also use several others. Now we come to capital B in the outline, under a deceitful diplomat, and we have his deceit. I think that stands out the most. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. Again, we've used that often, and we'll use it again as we consider the Antichrist, because it is very descriptive in 2 Thessalonians 2. And again, I want to remind you that the people in Thessalonica, they had the idea that maybe this had all happened already, and somehow they missed it or they messed up. He says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, that it's already happened. So this man first has to be revealed. And so, no one's been revealed as the Antichrist. But if the tribulation, if the rapture, if that were to take place soon, we would have to understand that the Antichrist would be very much alive and active today as a human being in some type of political structure or somehow moving up. And in the past, we would have wondered, how could they receive such power? How could they rise so fast? And yet we've watched it happen in politics today, with the internet, with the media, and everything else. Basically, they could promote anyone, and all of a sudden, they would be from unknown to very, very popular in our world. So, this again, where deceit is, and that's really the key. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Even him, talking about the Antichrist. We'll start at verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Okay, so his appearance on the scene, his appearance in the world is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And so don't think that there's not going to be a huge amount of deceit. I think that's why we see so much deception today. I think it's why the word spin. How are we going to spin the story? In other words, we're not ever going to tell people the truth. We're just going to spin it to make it sound the best we can. And of course, we see that in politics, have seen it for many years, but it's never been more obvious, I think, than today. And it only makes sense. Satan is the father of lies, okay? And he is the father of lies. You have to understand, he is going to look like the Messiah. There will be people that will believe he is their Messiah, this Antichrist. They will accept that. They will embrace him. Again, now we say, how could they possibly do that? You don't have to go far back in our political process to watch people accept. We had a president that committed adultery. And it was no big deal to people. It was like, we don't care about that. You know, 50 years ago, you don't do, it's just like, come on. I mean, he's supposed to be our example. And they talked about that very openly, like, hey, you know, but I mean, let's be honest, the majority, so many folks today that's their lifestyle anyway. So if he does it, so what? You know, it doesn't matter. And so, again, this idea, this deceit, this appearance to look like a Messiah. Again, you know, if you are going to create your own Messiah, what are you going to make him look like? How are you going to make him? How will you create your own Messiah? Because understand, cults, isms, religions, sects, they all have a Messiah. You know, they're all looking for somebody. I mean, you go different religions and different cults, and they all have their Messiah. Be it our Messiah, who the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Then there's the Maitreya, who is, you know, that's one of the big popular names today. And there are, you know, they all have their rescuer, okay, if you will. So again, if you're going to just create your own, how would he look? How would you make him? You know, are you going to make him to be perfect? Well, no, because if he's perfect, I don't necessarily want him to. Well, because what is perfect? You know, if we're creating the Messiah, what is perfect? Because where do we draw our line? You know, God says, "I'm holy." I'm holy. The Messiah is the Anointed One. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Okay, there is no blemish. There is no sin. There is no error. He is holy. He says, "Be ye holy as I'm holy." Okay, that's where the line's drawn. And of course, the world says, "Oh, you know, we don't want that." And they didn't. And they don't. And so their Messiah, okay, so if he lies, that's all right. So if he commits adultery, that's okay. So if he does this or does that in order to accomplish good, that's all right. If he deceives people, that's fine. No big deal. And so, again, we have to understand, it's a mindset. Whereas 50, 75 years ago, you know, people would have said, "Hey, there's no way in this world. How could this possibly happen?" But you and I now, we've seen it happen. We're watching it happen. We're seeing it. I mean, we see it every day. We see deception be the rule instead of truth. And as I said last week, and I don't want to stay on this, but we accept it ourselves as Christians because we do it in our own lives. We believe garbage and error all the time rather than finding out the truth. Because we do it with our social network, our Facebooking. Somebody says it and we believe it. We come to church, somebody says something, we just believe it. Oh, well, they're a good person. They must, you know. And we just believe it instead of finding out, instead of checking it out. And, you know, that is you know, it's a testimony of our nation. You know, I think right here, Berean Baptist, I think we have some of the best people in all the world, some of the best United States citizens. And yet, you know, we're caught in the same trap often where somebody said it and we just accept it. Do you know there's a lot of times I'm reading the articles in the paper, letters to the editor. I don't on Sundays anymore because I get in too bad a mood. But I'll read some of those, and I'll read something somebody says who is my position. And they say something that's not true, and I think, why do you have to say something not true? You don't have to say anything not true. All you got to do is tell the truth. And if you tell the truth, it's enough. But I'm reading, and it's like, you know, we fall into the same junk. And so it's not hard. And understand, the Antichrist, I promise you this, he will have the answer. He will have the answer. And do you know why he'll have the answer? Because it's his system that creates all the questions. and he'll have the answer. You know what? If a society doesn't accept this as the answer, then again, they're asking the questions that they want asked, or they're creating the question. And the truth is, the Antichrist is going to walk right in with the answer. And he will. He's going to have the answer. Again, because he created the question. He makes the problem, therefore, he has the solution. Again, folks, you know, you've got to understand, we're watching all of those things take place today, right now, whereby those who are causing the problem, they readily can give a solution. But understand, within, because there's deceit within all that, because the solution ends up costing those who had nothing to do with the problem. I'm telling you, it is old stuff that is going on, and yet we've never seen it here. We've not watched our country go down. But slowly but surely, we're watching stuff happen that other countries could say, that's exactly what happened to our country. Because those who make the problem, they have a solution, but the solution's going to be paid for with the freedoms of the people who, everything would have been fine had they not been put into the problem. And I have to move on. But, you know, for years and years and years, we've watched the tactic of making a problem and then being the hero and solving the problem. And, you know, all beliefs have their Messiah, their leader, their supernatural one. And so they are, you know, everything is being set up for the Antichrist to be that Messiah for all these people. It is all being set up. Look at Matthew 24, 23. We are being set up for an easy acceptance. And you need to understand, this pulpit, when the rapture takes place, this pulpit will be quiet. This pulpit will be silent. Anyone who knows the truth and preaches the truth, their pulpits will be silent. Their churches will be either closed or they'll be run by, you know, whatever, the state church or whatever. I mean, the truth will not be going forth in a way like it is today. So who is gonna speak out against the deceit that is gonna go forth? Matthew 24, 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Again, the false prophets are proclaiming the false Christ, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And again, we sit back and say, I don't know how that could be. And yet, there are, I don't remember the figure. Glenn would probably know this. The last election, how many Christians didn't vote? I'm thinking 17 million. Has anybody heard that number? 11 to 7, I don't remember for positive, but it was a huge amount of Christians said they were Christians who did not even vote. Now see, again, I my mind cannot fathom that kind of thing. But it's all a form of deceit. Okay, it could be the deceit of, well, I can't make a difference. Well, I don't know, 11 to 17 million would make a difference. I think it would. So, by the way, what difference should we make? Okay, isn't it enough that little babies are being massacred? And that now a partial birth abortion. Now, I'm not going to get graphic on this thing, but folks, you got to understand something. A partial birth abortion. Do you understand what that is? That is a whole body of a baby delivered except a head. And the head is kept inside because that's how we're going to justify murdering it, because it's still inside the mother's womb. And so we're going to just stick scissors into its head and suck out its brain. And now, and I don't know where we are on this, I just found this out not too long ago, but now we're actually contemplating a birth and just letting it die. Now again, I don't know about you, but it seems to me like if I had to stand before God as to what I said about, oh, I couldn't do anything, I don't think God's going to buy that you couldn't do anything if you didn't vote. What do you think? I mean, okay, maybe we can't go in there and save every little baby, but if as long as we're in a country where we're allowed to vote and we just say, oh, it doesn't matter, my vote doesn't matter, I'd hate to stand before God on that one. I really would. I'd hate to stand before God. I'd hate to stand before God when you know what? You know what we're going to see? It isn't going to be long, and we're going to see homosexuality where they are having children. Oh, not naturally. They're doing it unnaturally because that is all unnatural. And I just don't think, I don't think standing before God when, Lot, what'd you do for Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, I was one out of so many. I couldn't really make it. What'd you say, Lot? Well, I didn't say anything. I didn't want people to. I don't think that's going to work standing before God, folks. Those are just a couple things. I'm just throwing them out here, and this is not political at all. You want to talk politics, you can talk to Doug Rogers. Oh, but I'll tell you, we're being prepared for it, aren't we? We really are. I'm kind of tapping into tonight's message, but it's a little commercial for you. But we are being prepared for these Christs and these messiahs. We're being prepared. We're being prepared for one worldism like you cannot. I mean, it's like sheep being herded to the slaughter. We really are. This one world stuff. Save the earth. Have you read your Bible? What is going to happen to the earth? Brother Hawkins, what's going to happen? Yeah, it is. There's going to be a fire come to the earth. Yeah. And do you think God doesn't understand what the weather is? Did he control the flood or not? He had it all under control. I'm just, we're this whole idea. Well, we have to come together and save the earth. And so we'll let little children be massacred so we can hug a tree. And Brother Harnden pointed out to me yesterday that there are Christian groups now that are really getting fired up about the environment and all of that at the expense of biblical truth. And some of you, you're probably sitting there bristling just a little bit. Well, I think trees are important. took a good tree to build this pulpit. I do too. Amen. By the way, thank the trees. Those were pretty tall trees. We're getting prepared. We're going to have to all join together. We're going to have to all hold hands. Because we're under the protection now of the United Nations. Now, as Pastor Rogers, I'm just telling you that this is all part of the end times that the Bible talks about. Doug Rogers will tell you what he thinks about the United Nations. I don't have the exact quote. I might give it tonight, but the United Nations was very, very, very fired up about Libya. You probably didn't know that, did you? Because you probably didn't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, or CNN, or they were really fired. The United Nations was really fired up about our ambassador being killed and all that. And basically, the statement went something like, we need to do everything we can to stop any kind of speech, any kind of films, any kind of promotion that is going to be that is promoting negative things about religions and all that. What was it? Inflammatory speech. That was their statement. And you know what? They're working real hard to get laws like that. Now, there's only one little teeny problem with that. First of all, it had nothing to do with what happened in Libya.
That's right.
Second of all, it's part of the deceit that we're talking about. But guess who's going to be in the targets of that little truth from the wonderful United Nations? Just put a big bullseye right here on the pulpit, because it's going to be preaching. Yeah. Why do I keep running out of time? Somebody help me with this. Didn't we just gain an hour? It seems like I could teach for 2 hours. Anyway, it doesn't work that way. But you know what? We're just all going to join together. And, well, we're not, because I won't be here. But the Antichrist is anti-Christ, and he's made to look like Christ. He's made to look like a Messiah, but he is the opposite of Christ. He is the opposite of the Messiah. He is against us and our kind of belief, but he will be very, very religious. As we will see as we get into the tribulation study, there is a false prophet representing religion. Why? The world has always had religion. Always. And you have to understand that the false prophet will be very, very, very religious. Just like there are numbers of very, very, very religious people in our world. And there are very religious religions in our world. That was good, religious religions. And they're just as religious and religious-y as they possibly can be. And you say, well, won't that kind of stop the Antichrist? Oh, no, it spurs him on, because it is a religion of deceit. It is a religion of politics. It is religion that is out to conquer and destroy anything that goes against it. It's all part of the deceit. And we're in it now. We're in it now. We see that. We see the watered down religion of 2012. You don't have to look very far. It is just amazing to watch. Again, I'm not getting on Christians. I thank God for everyone who's saved, everyone who's going to heaven. But the watered down version of Christianity today it should be very obvious to us. I don't want to be watered down. I want to be the real thing. And that means that we have to believe that we have the truth, and we're going to get out and get the gospel to the nations. And no matter what, and it's a battle. But anyway, okay, let's move on. What time is it anyway? Ushers, I need you to come. Let's go to capital C. I might actually finish this section. Number one, his description. Number two, or B, is his deceit. And then capital C is his diplomacy. His diplomacy. And so again, how are we going to get across this he's a conqueror, he's a warrior, he's going forth to conquer, and he is powerful, he's strong, he carries a bow, yet he's a liar, he's deceitful, very clear in Scripture that he is deceitful, and So I come to capital C, and that's his diplomacy, because basically, as a diplomat, he has fancy words. Fancy words. And words can, you know, it can carry somebody on into victories. It can get somebody a political position. It can get somebody the presidency. It can get them whatever, just saying the right words. You know, it's like a convention, for example, a speech where you can give out this great vision, but no answers on how to really make it happen, or no record on whether it has happened or not. And so you can get by with a lot if you're a diplomat, if you use the right words, if you can fake people out enough. You can get by with a lot. And so again, if you can imagine an antichrist, somebody who actually is going to have his thumb on the world, you know, let's be honest. This is a major thing to take place here. To unite everybody and then to actually be able to put your thumb on them, to be able to say you can't buy or sell without my mark, because that's all going to happen. So this guy is, there's no question, he is slick. He is slick. Daniel 9, verse 27, here's what he does. Daniel 9, 27, we go back into our study of the 70-week prophecy and some of the things in Daniel. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, and I need to hurry. I know. And the Bible says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Again, 1 week is a period of seven, and in this case, 7 years, one heptad, one period of the seven. The 7 years tribulation. So he says, literally, there will be a covenant made according to this. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And so for 7 years, there will be a signed, let's call it a treaty. Maybe we would understand that better, that will take place. It'll be a 7-year treaty. And I think Scripture indicates, I think we can prove this, that there will be several things like that, but especially there will be a treaty with Israel. And in my mind, I can just see, because I'm watching, and Israel's always been right there in the center of everything. By the way, that's another good point with the election this year. Are you willing to vote for Israel? Are you willing to vote for Israel?
Well, I don't know. I'm not very.
Wait a minute. But again, let's go back to the truth of the Word of God. Okay, I'm not talking about hey, let's just go ahead and add Israel into our platform. All right, what do you say? Boo. Okay, it passes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we have an opportunity to vote for Israel. All right, I'll move on. But anyway, there's going to be a covenant made, and they're going to be allowed to sacrifice. They're going to be allowed. In my mind, I see, you know, the enemies of the world are coming down, and there is one, the name starts with an I, Islam, who's surrounding them, just like they're surrounding us. You know why? Because they're united, and we're worried about stupidity. Honestly, and their swords are getting sharp, aimed at our jugglers. But anyway, so they're and they're all over Israel. I mean, they've got them surrounded, and it's just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Okay, who's gonna stand up for Israel? Okay, the Antichrist will. Hey, I'm for you. I'm with you. I'm on your side. Okay, we voted on it. I'm with you. Hey, listen to me. And so they're gonna have a 7-year agreement, some kind of 7-year treaty, and basically, you know, Iran, who will have nuclear weapons, and everybody will have nuclear weapons, except we're getting rid of all of our anyway. So Israel is. I mean, there they are. What are they gonna? The Antichrist says, "I'm here for you," and they're gonna sign a 7-year agreement. But notice what the Bible says about that. It says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, in the midst of that seven-year period, that would be a period of 3.5 years in the middle of that seven-year period. So 3.5 years later, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And in the midst of that period of time, he will break the covenant. He will break the treaty. You mean he wasn't being honest? That's diplomacy. There is diplomacy, because you can convince people of anything in this world. I've often said that several used car dealers that I've known in the past had good diplomacy. They were professional diplomats, and not all, but just I've had a few like that. So in other words, he is in the midst of all that, he breaks his word. And it talks about in verse 26, it says, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. We know that to be Rome, talking about after Messiah, after Jesus was crucified, the Romans came and they sacked Jerusalem. So the people of the prince, the people of the Antichrist, he somehow, the people of him, destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. And so again, we know the Antichrist somehow comes from Roman roots. And so he's going to make a deal, and then he's going to go back on that deal. And of course, Satan always does that. I'm talking with somebody right now who is about to make a deal with Satan and about to sign their name on the line, you know, and make a deal. Now, I'm not talking about a weird witchcraft kind. I'm just talking about every day what we do. I'm just talking about life. And you know, we get deceived by the diplomacy of the thing. And we say, you know what, if I can have this, it sounds good. This sounds good, all right? Because I am going to do right. And I am going to do what I'm supposed to, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, Satan's deals are that he never plans to go through with them. He never has anything good for you. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care how good it looks. And it's going to be just like that. And so it leads us to our second horseman, and that is a divisive destroyer. And we move on to verses 3 and 4. Again, the going back on his word. Come on. We anymore? We expect it, don't we? What's a treaty mean? What's a covenant mean? What's a person's word mean? I mean, you know, the last house I bought, that was a long time ago. I cannot think of how many papers I had to sign. You know, just over. It's like, well, this proves that you are who you say you are, and that you will do what you say you will do, and it's like, why would you have to? Because people are liars. Okay, all right, here we go. Here's a sign of the times. Even though I'm running out of time. So people are dying out east. People have died. People are suffering. And we have fake charities. Can you even imagine that? Fake charities. Well, who's that? People that are going to take advantage of the situation. They did it down with Katrina. They're doing it now. How can that be? Because we've gotten used to lying. And we've gotten used to not checking out the truth. It's a scary day we live in, folks. It's a scary time. And yet, God is our God. And he's in heaven. And he is truth. And you know what? You stick to this book, and you're sticking to truth. Father, thank you for the truth. Help us, Lord, to check it out. Help us to be like the Berean Christians. Search the scriptures daily to see that it's so. God, that we might be able to put our eyes on truth, the only truth in this world that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, is the truth, and that is the Word of God. I thank you that we have it, that we can preach it, and Lord, that we do that here. And I pray that you will bless now the morning service. You'll speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to be encouraged by the fact that you're our God and you have everything under control. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Take a few minutes and have the